Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Dustin Sweetelson. It is the summer of Swede continuing here on this program this week. We're live in Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino, loaded for the next 3 hours. Tons of great guests, including Sean Green from the Sports Gambling Podcast in 30 minutes. A ton of his NFL futures that he likes. Ralph Russo, college football in an hour. Ed Sammons. Somebody told me last week one of the top two or three odds makers ever in the history of Las Vegas. Oh. How sharp this guy is. And he's recently retired. He's joining the show coming up in 90 minutes. And Adam Rittenberg on the show, more college football with him from ESPN a little bit later on. We'll begin a little Major League Baseball. Look, August is now this weekend.
Yeah.
It takes, this is a daily grind with baseball. It can be a super fun sport to bet, but I still, and the World Cup is now obviously in the rear view. Soccer beats, it's like a shovel upside the head. I still contest that baseball beats are worse than any other sport. That's maybe neither here nor there. But you just had to put up with this stuff every single day. And you got to kind of just like, the more you do this, Dustin, you got to let it just roll off the shoulder. Like, doesn't affect me anymore.
Oh, no, it affects me. I'm getting absolutely decimated right now. And I think that what you brought up about the beats is the issue. It's that I have so much of a larger sample size, and so much data, and everything that points me in the direction of backing a bet, it goes up in flames quickly. Like Zach Wheeler yesterday, dude been cruising. Miami could have been playing worse. And I know like a lot of people who've been handicapping a long time go, well, you're either betting into streaks or against streaks. What led you to believe with Miami that the offense was going to show up in that spot?
Or all of a sudden you had the velo drop from Wheeler.
Yeah.
And the staff is completely, you know, concerned about it. Like, we better get him out of the game now because we don't know what's happening. And is this going to be like a long-term injury potentially that we're watching right now on the mound tonight? So the K props that you liked, they stayed under. Because he got rocked immediately in that game.
Oh, yeah. The ladder died very... He still had six strikeouts.
I know. And that's the thing. Probably his, like, D material, I would say, last night. C minus, maybe, in that neighborhood because of a potential injury. And then, of course, how that game was a roller coaster. And it's like the Phillies run line. I documented on the program yesterday, Marlins had lost, well, in that 12-game losing streak, 8 straight games on the run line. So they lost by 2 runs or more in 10 out of 11. It's 7-5. They go to the pen. They bring in the closer who's been really good again this year, and he just doesn't have it himself, and they lose the game outright. Incredible.
It's crazy. For Duran to blow that game with them finding a way to get a win, which, by the way, for Philly, this is a team a few weeks ago when I was filling in for Gil, I went all in on. I was like, I think this is the team that can take down the Dodgers in the National League. Because to me, if you're handicapping it, it's how can you beat the Dodgers? Because it's either you're going to see them in the NLCS or you're going to see them in the World Series if you're in the American League. And when Wheeler was cruising for the last few starts, I was like, you know what? He's back to his old form. It's Sanchez. It's Wheeler. Lizardo's been great. Who knows what Dombrowski adds to the rotation? I don't know what to do with them going forward because that's a sign of a team not having that killer instinct to put teams away. And that also coincides with while you were on vacation, JT Realmuto ran them out of a game at the end of a comeback against the Dodgers where it just showed the losing ways of this team in critical spots.
Hmm. I definitely missed that game when I was on vacation.
Oh, they had a big chance against the Dodgers.
So, and I had what I would consider an excruciating loser as well last night. But with me, I used to be in your same boat. Like, it's going to affect me potentially for days, some of these bad beats. It impacts me during the game when it's happening. But then when it's over with, I'm like, I just got to move on. Because you're betting this stuff so often. And, you know, it's a six-month sport during the regular season. You're going to have so many bets. But my bet was on the Nationals team total over 2.5. They had 100 guys on the first 5 innings.
I don't know how that doesn't happen.
So if that game is played 10,000 times, right, and Scherzer's on the mound every single time, I'm betting it 10,000 times.
Oh, you're right.
And I'm willing to tell you that I'm probably going to walk away a winner over those 10,000 bets that I make. But in a one-game standoff like last night, it happened to be a loser, although they had their chances like in every single inning.
I'd probably feel better about my situation had I hadn't had the first 5 under in the Reds and Guardians this morning.
Oh, yeah, well.
And it was 5-5 through 5, so you don't need to check the score or see if the bet cashed. It did not indeed on the under 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was with Chase Burns, by the way, who was the best first 5 pitcher in Major League Baseball going into today. 1 loss on the entire year in the first 5.
My fear was Ciccone on the other side. I thought Slade Ciccone was going to mess things up. No, it was the other side. A Manzardo Grand Slam ends up giving them 4 and then come back the other way. But you know what? In retrospect, probably should have just stayed away because their routines were disrupted yesterday.
A little bit.
They thought they were pitching a day ago. It was then a day game today. You never know how these guys are going to get up for it offensively. That was my thought. Sometimes the offense can be a little bit sluggish knowing there's 2 days, but right. Two games in 1 day. Nope, it was definitely a lot of offense in that game. It's 5-5 in the eighth, by the way.
So for a long time going back, I don't think it's really much of a thing anymore in the second game of a doubleheader. You would want to bet on the team that lost game one earlier in the day.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of come back to the pack a little bit. I don't know. I'm throwing this out there. I wonder what it's like in game two when the first game has a ton of runs.
Ooh.
Does it completely come back to the pack and you get like a 2-1 game later on tonight? Or I'll switch it. Like if this game, it's 6-5 right now because there's a run across in the top of this inning that we're talking about. If this game was 1-0 and Burns was electric today, does that have any impact on game number two? Do the bats waking up a little bit? Or is it all dependent on who's going to be on the mound that night?
Yeah, I think it's dependent. Gavin Williams starting on one side for Cleveland. Yep. We don't know on the other end for Cincinnati in this spot. I'm already on Gavin Williams over 7.5 Ks at -132. The thought process there is, one, he's been cruising lately with the strikeouts. But more importantly, I just had a weird feeling with Ciccone that they would have to use a bunch of bullpen arms. So you don't know how many guys are going to be available. He may have to, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, stay out there a little bit longer. Thus far, after Ciccone went 3 2/3, they've used three relievers since. They really haven't to dig into a ton of guys, but you just never know how the bullpen's going to go the rest of the way in a doubleheader. So I already liked Gavin Williams over Case.
I like where your head's at there, thinking with the bullpen, getting ahead of it.
Well, I think we've reached a juncture of the season where so much of the handicap is the bullpen and the usage.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. Today, Bill Eddy put it in the VSiN Daily, and it's another reason to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. So Steve Mackinnon now for several years here at the network, he has been sharing his bullpen betting systems. And every single year, people are responding like, I've been tracking this now the entire season. I'm up so many units. Bill today included a story about a guy who tinkered with it a little bit. His name is Doug F. And he is on a run right now that is 92-64, simply using Mackinnon's bullpen betting system.
Wow.
And it's the ROI is awesome. The units that he's up, I think it's like 26 or something like that in that neighborhood. Very good.
I love that. My biggest problem is I'll have systems like this that I'll lean onto, and I don't. You got to go all in, right?
You got to do it the entire year.
You got to be consistent with it because it's gonna crush you the days you don't do it and it hits, and then the days you do it and it doesn't. The consistency alone to just day after day fire in the same way, that is impressive to me. I love to see that.
So with that in mind, ESPN today had some potential blockbusters that they would like to see. A bunch of their quote experts chimed in on this. And, you know, the one common name that you've heard potentially going to Milwaukee would be Tarek Skubal. And I would love to see it because I want to see the Miz and Skubal go back to back, specifically against the Dodgers in the playoffs. And that was written about, right? What the kind of what they would have to give up to get Skubal. In fact, that was the number one trade they wrote about. But if you go down just a little bit, talking about bullpens, Mason Miller has been a guy commonly thrown out there for the Yankees to potentially acquire. They wrote about him going to the Brewers. Mason Miller to the Brewers.
What's crazy about that is you go, hold on, that's not a weakness, but you just make a strength an even bigger strength. So you essentially would do what San Diego thought they were doing a few years ago.
Yeah.
You're going to make it a 6-inning game.
That's exactly the thought behind it.
Maybe a 5-inning game if you have to, because if you throw in Ashby from the left side, Uribe, McGill, Mason Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, the game, we talk about betting first fives. The game's over in the first five.
It's kind of like when the Royals won the World Series.
Good call.
That was a true 5 or 6 inning game. That's all they asked their starters to do. That bullpen was legendary that year with how good they were. I think Wade Davis was maybe the closer, but they had a ton of setup guys that were incredible, and they just pitched lights out the entire time. So that is one philosophy here that I think could absolutely still work.
I'm intrigued by that more than Skubal, I think. Because I think Skubal's going to cost you Logan Henderson.
How about both?
Well, that would be quite a Milwaukee move to do that right before we maybe get a salary cap to actually go all in. I saw Passan's article, and the part that he wrote about acquiring Skubal, we've been giving up Logan. I love Logan Henderson.
I don't want to give him up.
I don't want to. Yep. I mean, as someone who's bet way too much Rookie of the Year on him this year, I really believe in Logan Henderson, and I'd rather just hang on him than a rental. But Mason Miller, the way a playoff game is managed is so different than a regular season. And on top of that, you're then going to take another starter out of the rotation and put him in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just making this game so much shorter if you can get a lead.
Well, so and by the way, you're going to hear from Jim Duquette, who is on VSiN by the Books coming up in this hour, former MLB GM, talking about whether or not he thinks the Yankees are going to be aggressive as well. It feels like where there's smoke, there is some fire. Now, the Brewers made that move for McCullers, but they already sent him down.
Yeah.
It feels like all of these reports around Milwaukee, either Skubal, and now they're bringing up Mason Miller. I think they have to realize that this potentially is the year, because they're right behind the Dodgers now for the most wins in baseball yet again this season. And they have this this season that we're getting, and maybe this isn't the best year we're ever going to get from the Miz. It's only his second year, for God's sake. So who knows? But you need to strike while the fire is going here.
Well, it's also a rare year for them when the offense is actually carrying its weight for once.
Yeah.
Normally we're going, all right, low scoring game. Milwaukee's going to find a way to win it with the rotation because they had Peralta. By the way, they might trade for Peralta again.
How about that?
Pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
That would be the boldest move and like the biggest David Stern should be fired situation, to trade Peralta back and not being able to get this isn't draft day. You're not going to get your prospects back. Pancake eater.
By the way, I was always like a stan for Peralta.
I
would just burn money on him every single year. That's the last move I want to see him make.
No. Well, here's the irony. They just beat him around last week. But at the same time, wouldn't they be the ones to know how to unlock him again?
Maybe, because they've been so good with the pitching staff. And if it's pennies on the dollar, then
yeah,
there
you
go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't even have to give up the prospects you got from the Mets.
Yep. Big Ten Media Day started today. I'm pretty sure I'm like the Lone Ranger here at the network, riding this team in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. I'll explain next here on VSiN.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So our next guide that's dropping here at VSiN is going to be the Epic College Football Betting Guide for the upcoming season. I think all of our plays, our analysis, due by tonight at like 9 o'clock Eastern time, the way it looks.
Yeah, whenever we do these guides, my favorite thing to do is to log in and see the Paul Howard three sentences, all caps lock with spelling errors.
Uh-huh.
It's the most consistent thing that I can find here at VSiN, is that I'll log into the guide and I will see that Adam Burke has to do a lot of work to figure out what Paulie Howard's trying to say.
Well, I've done a show with him every day now for at least the last 8 years. Where do you think I'm at with that?
Yeah.
Good luck every single time trying
to figure
it out.
Well, you're the great translator now.
That's exactly right. So, by the way, I'm looking right now. It looks like plenty of people still need to get their picks in here.
I got to tell you, the longer this lingers, the more picks I want to add. That's the problem.
Yeah, so get it out right now, basically. Adam,
Adam,
this off my...
Close it, please, before I start putting stupid bets into this thing.
I wrote up a couple of bets last night. You have probably, what, four or five in there as of right now?
I have four, and I'll tell you one that I'm considering is in the American Conference with Memphis. I think Memphis might win that league. I have to do a little more digging, but they brought in a D2 quarterback that might hit the ground running.
Okay, I put Navy as my winner there in that conference. But here's the deal, right? When you're looking at you're going to get all of our best bets with analysis. It could be a Heisman bet, it might be a win total, it could be a conference bet. And then they want us to fill out like who our projected winners are for every single conference, and then obviously the final four teams that make it into the playoff, meaning the final four, and then our eventual title game, and then the two teams that play in that, and then the winner. So Wes Reynolds is a Hoosier. He's from the state. He went to all their games last year in the playoffs.
He
saw his team win a national title. You would figure that he was going to put Indiana to win as the Big Ten champion.
I just assumed that would be a lock.
And he did. I'm the only other person, as of right now, as I'm looking at this, that has Indiana. Every other person is on Ohio State and Oregon, and I get it, right? It's Ohio State. Like, you might be silly to bet against them, although their schedule is impossible this year. Oregon, we had Brett Cianci on the program yesterday, pick six previews, and he's like, that's his pick to win the entire thing. I need to see it to believe it first with Oregon. And kind of my thing with Indiana is this. I mean, so when you look at their schedule, and they absolutely pounded teams into submission last year, They're non-conference. They're going to win on average by like 65-3. The conference play begins Northwestern at Rutgers at Nebraska. They will absolutely, unless Hoover is a total abomination, they're going to be 6-0. They get Ohio State at home at Michigan, Minnesota. Then they have the bye. After the bye, they play USC at home at Washington and Purdue. I think this team has 10-2, 11-1 written all over it. Hoover comes in from the Horned Frogs, active leader in college football in passing yards and touchdowns. The O-line last year was a semifinalist for the Joe Moore Award, best offensive line in the entire country. Well, guess what? They have four guys back and signed Wisconsin's transfer, Joe Brunner, who ranked third overall in the portal. The defense allowed fewer than 12 points per game. Their defense is going to be, I think, maybe better this year than it was a year ago. Nine players on defense were named All-Conference. Six came back, and they added five more starters from Power Four rosters overall. And here's the biggest, like, it's not even an X factor. I haven't even brought up Cignetti yet.
Well, and I know a listener that I DM with a lot about this. Anytime I say anything bad about Indiana, I will get 400 DMs from my guy HoosierBear85, so I'm just going to get ahead of it right now. He has pointed out to me several times, this is Indiana's best team, most talented team under Cignetti. So initially, my concern for this squad is, well, they lost a lot, right? They lost a lot to the NFL. They don't have that baked into their program, you would think, right? Not just Mendoza. We're talking about Cooper and Surratt, the two top receivers, right? They lost their center, and Pat Coogan was kind of the heartbeat of that offensive line. D'Angelo Pons was undersized at corner, but he was so physical and disruptive in the secondary. They lost Aiden Fisher on the defense. But you know what? You know what Cignetti's proved? He doesn't need continuity. He's lost two games in 2 years at Indiana. To your point about the O-line, not only did they bring in the kid from Wisconsin, they brought back an offensive tackle in Carter Smith, who was all Big Ten. Mm-hmm. They brought back a guard who started 20 games in his career. They have Michigan State's top receiver, Nick Marsh, coming over. Charlie Becker was incredible. Awesome. Maybe the best receiver in the playoff a year ago. And then on defense, they just loaded up on more pieces that he's going to maximize. He turned James Madison players into All-Americans and draft picks. Yep.
I've seen enough. Like I said, I need to see it to believe it with Oregon. Right, all this talent, well, you need to prove it to me. This guy has proven it to me in 2 years. They were the worst program in the history of college football, specifically at the Power 5 level. This guy gets their back-to-back playoff appearances and a national. It's like the most unlikely thing to happen in college sports in our lifetime. No hyperbole.
No, and Indiana being a power in football is something you... If you could have gone back 20 years and predicted anything was possible in any major sport in America... I'm telling you, this is the most unlikely.
It
couldn't be more irrelevant. And now, if you know anyone who's gone to Indiana, they'll tell you about what the campus life is there. Once you start building it, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. So to doubt that it's just going to fall off after they won a title, I think would be foolhardy. I have them as a playoff team. I don't have them in my Final Four. I just think it's so hard to do it back-to-back in today's college football. And also, they triggered so many other programs to go even more further all in a world where we don't have a salary cap. But the defense, to me, is the key. Everyone talks about the offense. One, the defense was number two in scoring. Mm-hmm. They had the second most sacks in FBS. They led the country in tackles for loss. But what they retained while they lost players to the draft, they somehow kept their defensive coordinator, Bryant Haynes, who won the Broyles Award for the best assistant in America.
I think they're absolutely loaded again this year. And they have 10-11, maybe. I undefeated, that's difficult to do that again, obviously. But I have them winning the Big Ten and absolutely being a playoff team this year. But they're not going today for Big Ten Media Days. We have Illinois, Iowa, Penn State, Rutgers, USC, and Wisconsin as part of the kickoff here to the 2026 Big Ten Media Days. Wisconsin seems to be a very popular team this year in terms of like a positive outcome. I take myself out of this conversation because I'm from the state and I don't want to seem like a total homer. Are you buying in on the Badgers?
I think I am. I think this is a buy low spot. They can't be worse, right? Fickle.
Well, I've been saying that for 3 years now.
Fickle's 17-21 in 3+ years. They were 1-10 against AP ranked teams under Fickle, according to what I could find. Only UMass had a worse offense a year ago. They averaged 12.8 points per game. They were Power Four's worst passing offense and worst scoring offense. But I think there's reasons for hope. There's reasons for belief. I thought they were really dumb a couple years ago going to that Phil Longo air raid, which goes against everything you do at Wisconsin at the high school level. You put out offensive linemen who are ready to run the football. They don't do pass sets in high school in Wisconsin football. They're running it down people's throats. And I think Colton Joseph, who comes in from Old Dominion, being a dual threat, kind of adds to that right now. They brought in a transfer at running back from Iowa State who was awesome in Sama. They also have Brian Jackson from USC. I think they're getting back to their core values. They're going back to the ground and pound. They're going to rely on what they have in state. And that's why I think this is a team that should go over their win total. I don't know if they're contending in the league, but they should go over their win total because the schedule couldn't have been worse the last 2 years. They had Alabama back.
It was impossible the last couple of seasons. So they catch kind of a break. Well, after the Notre Dame game to begin things at Lambeau Field, the defense really played quite well to end the season. They held Washington and Illinois to 10 points apiece late. And Washington, with Demond Williams there, they were obviously very explosive. And so if they can, they lost a lot on defense, but they have some key guys back, which is a good thing. I'm so pessimistic about this team because I can't get over the fact that they've had one good starting quarterback my entire lifetime, Russell Wilson.
That's crazy.
That's the list. It kills me.
That's pretty crazy when you think about some of the hype, too, behind some of these guys coming in. No Ohio State, no Oregon, no Indiana.
I know.
It's a gift.
It's over 6.5 is what you're saying?
I think you have to. When you look at the schedule for Wisconsin, you really have to think over 6.5. Let's play the game. Let's do the Mike and the Mad Dog.
Oh, the schedule game? Great.
The schedule game. Let's pull that up and see what we got for Wisconsin this year because it was so bad. Notre Dame is a loss. Okay, we all acknowledge that. Western Illinois win. Eastern Michigan win. At Penn State, I don't think it's crazy they win, but we'll say they lose.
Oh, boy.
That's two wins. Michigan State, first year of Fitzgerald, that's a win. At UCLA and USC are probably losses coming up. Iowa's another win. Where are we at? We're at 1, 2, 3. We're at 4. They're beating Iowa. I'm done with Iowa. I'm sick of believing.
They won 8 games last year.
I'm so over it. I honestly almost don't want to research Iowa this year because I'm so sick of trying to believe there's a quarterback that's going to get vertical at some point. It's 2026. Kirk Ferentz hasn't adopted the forward pass yet. Rutgers is a win. At Maryland's kind of tough, I think. Purdue's a win. I think Minnesota's. They're right on the edge of that win total. I think they go over.
They're right on the edge. I have to fire on the over here.
I get it. I see what people are seeing, though.
So that's one team that I think most people are positive about. You're right. The other one would be USC. And when I'm talking about positivity, I'm talking about playoff team. Lincoln Riley has the best recruiting class in the country. I was told today, hop on Mayava to win the Heisman.
I did not anticipate being high on USC coming into the year. And then I started diving into it. One, they returned their entire offensive line.
Yeah.
In today's day and age, the continuity, the chemistry that goes with that, I think that's so difficult to replicate. All these teams are diving in the portal for O-line. Miami was 5th in the nation in pass yards, 2nd in QBR at 89.9. They lost weapons, but it's USC. They got a kid from NC State. They have a lot of young players that they recruited that should make an impact. Defense hired Gary Patterson to shore things up there. I think if they lean on the run game to close teams out instead of trying to throw to wins, I think they could potentially be a playoff team.
One lesson I've learned over the years about betting the Heisman is do not bet on West Coast players unless they play quarterback at USC, maybe Oregon. Like, that's the list.
That's
NFL futures up next. Sean Green on the program. He has a ton, and he's going to make a case for a bottom feeder that he likes this season. Welcome in here on a Tuesday. Mitch Moss along with Dustin Sweetelson. We are live downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. And every Friday night, again this year, the Sports Gambling Podcast with the fellas, Sean Green, Ryan Kramer and company, will be broadcasting right from the same exact studio. And they do a great job, by the way. They're based in California in the LA area. They do it multiple times every single week. Again, the Sports Gambling Podcast. And Sean hops on the Progressive guest line right now to talk some NFL futures. Congrats, man. Good to have you back on the network on Friday nights during the football season.
Let's go.
Yes. Love being on this side of the Progressive guest line and love being a part of VSiN. So excited to be running it back for another season. And I was joking with you guys behind the scenes that, you know, this is the annual tradition of switching my Southwest Companion Pass from my wife to my partner, Kramer. And I always tell, I'm like, business partner, business. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No judgment.
It's always a funny conversation with the Southwest folks. So, excited to be back. Obviously, Circa's great. And love being on the VSiN airwaves.
Very cool. Love having you on here as well. Let's begin with the team in the National Football League. Because I'm open to this idea. Dustin, during the break, poo-pooed it, and you're like, you're an idiot. That's not going to happen. What are you talking about? You're attacking one of the true, what we think will be a bottom feeder this year, one of the bottom feeders in the league, with the Miami Dolphins, but with a positive outcome on that end of the betting spectrum here. What do you want to do with Miami this season?
Yeah, give me the Miami Dolphins over 4.5 wins. I understand the concern. I understand the idea of, oh, hey, they have a bunch of dead cap that's going to hurt their ceiling. But and there's people, Dustin was one of them in the break, saying, oh, they're tanking. I don't think you bring in Malik Willis if you're trying to tank. There are perfectly good tanking quarterbacks available on the market. Jacoby Brissett, Geno Smith. Those are the type of guys, in my mind, you bring in if you're truly setting up for a rookie quarterback. And I just look at this Dolphins rush attack, which I think could be amazing. You look at Devon Achane with Malik Willis. Again, small sample size with Malik Willis, but eye test, I love what I saw of him. And then, you know, his EPA per play was through the roof. And we've seen what mobile quarterbacks can do to elevate running backs. So I think there's a real chance this running game is going to be awesome. And if the running game's awesome with Achane and with the mobile Willis, that creates some easy play action stuff in the passing game. And we've seen this before. We've seen bad teams get elevated by mobile quarterbacks like Malik Willis. And Malik Willis isn't going to be tanking. He doesn't want someone to come in and take his job. I think he's going to take advantage of this opportunity. And in small stretches, we saw him do it there for the Green Bay Packers. You're bringing over a lot of continuity with the Green Bay system there. I think Halfley might have this defense playing better than their talent. I love the draft pick of Jacob Rodriguez. I think he's an interesting sprinkle defensive rookie of the year there. And I just don't think they're bottom of the NFL. And yeah, their schedule by win total, if you look at Warren Sharp, is kind of tough, but that's because they play in the AFC East. And I would kind of push back because they've given, even in down years, this Dolphins team at home has given the Bills problems, has given the Patriots problems, and they certainly can get some wins against the Jets. So I just don't think they're quite as bad as everyone says. So I like the over 4.5 here.
I respect your argument, counselor. I look forward to being wrong, because anytime I mock anyone on this at network for a pick, which, by the way, I make some crazy picks, so you think I'd get mocked a little bit more. Like Matt Eumanns last year, I said, the Broncos aren't winning the AFC West. Great call by me. All right, let's talk about the NFC South, because I think the drama in Tampa Bay might lead to this thing being pretty open, despite them being a 164 favorite. Saints plus 265. You think they have a chance to not just go over their win total, but actually win the South?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, one, I was a big Tyler Shuck guy. I think a couple people on the network as well were sweating out some Tyler Shuck offensive rookie of the year at 200-1. But, you know, maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but he came in and I thought he looked really well, and he should. He's played a lot of football. He's pretty experienced. We've seen these guys with a bunch of experience in college come in and hit the ground running. I think Brandon Staley on the defensive side, you look at their DVOA for the year, that Saints defense kind of underrated. Once they got rid of Rattler there and had competent quarterback play with Shuck, the defense played really well. I think on the offensive side, Kellen Moore, I think, is a good head coach. I'd love to see him here in year two, and I think they have a ton of potential. And I just look at the rest of the teams in the NFC South, tons of questions in my mind. The Panthers have already gotten whacked pretty bad here with the injury bug. And then on the same thing with the Tampa Bay Bucs, Vita Vea asking for a trade. If the Bucs get rid of Vita Vea, and it's annoying because we literally just taped our Tampa Bay Bucs team preview over on Sports Gambling Podcast before the news broke. But he is a huge swing in that defense. So if they lose him, that's a big question mark. Either way, I think they're going to be in the mix there for the NFC South. You can also take, if you're a little concerned about the division at plus 265, I do like the over 8.5 wins at plus 150. That's a little safer way to approach it, because I would be surprised if we get another 8-9 division winner here. It is the NFC South, but I do think the Saints are going to get it done here. And at plus 265, I think it's a pretty good price.
Yep, on the same page, I already have those two bets in pocket as well. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Sean Green, Sports Gambling Podcast. Get it wherever you listen to your pods, and also going to be Friday nights here at 10 o'clock Eastern time during the football season on VSiN. You're a big-time Eagles fan. You've had a lot of success in recent years. Do they have one more really legitimate run in them this year?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And, I mean, again, I'm always going to be in on the Eagles. I'm biased. Get that warning out of the way. But I think this Eagles team is kind of being slept on. One, just look at that defense. They got the contract done. Breaking news with Jalen Carter. That defense is good to go. I think this defense might be the best defense in the league, even without my Homer glasses on. Look at that cornerback room of, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, Tariq Woolen, on top of what they should be doing with the pass rush. Very, very good defense with Vic Fangio. And then on the other side, offensively, you get Jalen Hurts, who doesn't turn the ball over, keeps you in games. You have Saquon Barkley coming off a year where it was kind of a down year. A lot of that was the offensive line injuries. They were coming off that Super Bowl year, played a bunch of games. Barkley had a bunch of snaps. Now they're coming in well-rested, healthy. I think that offensive line is going to be good. I love what I'm hearing about the Sean Mannion offense, and I think it's going to be a massive year for Devontae Smith, and I think the offense is going to do a really good job. And you just look at the – as much as people want to clown Jalen Hurts and clown Nick Sirianni, I think if you just put a blind resume on what they've done in their 5 years together as Hurts' starting quarterback, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl win, 5 years, they went to the playoffs all 5 times, and they've gone over 10.5 wins 4 out of the last 5 years here. So I understand the skepticism. Hey, no AJ Brown, but I think the offense is going to cook, and really the optimism just – this defense should be dynamic once again.
Yeah, as Sirianni's got like this meathead Socrates thing about him. Like, he's got a philosopher's attitude, but he just delivers it in a very dumb way.
He's annoying. I get it.
Sean, if you look at the track record, he's really good at dealing with a bad season. He bounces back. He doesn't let them compound. 9-8 to 14-3 won the NFC. 11-6, then 14-3 won the Super Bowl. Just went 11-6. If he builds on 11-6, like, what are we talking about here? All right, your next play I love, because Fernando Mendoza's blocked to start right away. Kirk Cousins is going to get plenty of opportunity to see if he can take the Raiders to a few early wins on the season. You can't bet Mendoza plus 425 offensive rookie of the year. How do you want to attack the number one pick in the futures market?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting that they listed his some of his props here, the passing yards. I'll happily take the under here on Fernando Mendoza passing yards at 23.99.5. The only rookie who went over last year was Cam Warden. He started all 17 games. So even a guy like Tyler Shuck, who came in and played a bunch of games, averaged almost was like 217.5. He didn't get over this number. So there's just so many ways Mendoza doesn't get to this number of 2,400 passing yards. And it's interesting that places are hanging a passing yards prop with the idea that he's not starting week one. I'll break that news. Kirk Cousins is starting week one. And how long does Kirk Cousins stay in there? I think it is one of those things. At some point, they will want to see what they have in Mendoza. Now, how many games is it? If it's 8 games, you really have your work cut out for it. If it's 10 games, even, you're averaging 240 yards per game. And then on top of that, you come into a Raiders offense, which, they got Brock Bowers. What other pass catchers are you really excited about? Do we feel good about the offensive line pass protection for the Raiders? I don't feel great about that. If they do have success, the Raiders, it's probably through Genty on the ground. I just think there's so many ways Mendoza doesn't get 2,400 passing yards. So easy fade for me. And I don't like him offensive rookie of the year as well, because, again, how many games is he going to start?
Right. By the way, if you're running the math on this, right? Even if he gets 12, can he get 12 games? Like, Cousins obviously has to get hurt right away, I would think, right? Even if he plays 12 games, he's got to average 200 yards per game passing. And that's, I think, trying to be like the most positive I possibly can be with a guy like this. I just don't, what's the path here for him to go over?
And halfway through the season, Niners defense, Seahawks defense, at the Broncos, versus the Broncos. A lot of tough defenses for him to put up big numbers.
I know. All right, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. That, by the way, you're right, Sean. That is posted right now at a cursory look here.
I think
multiple books.
That.
Multiple books have that available as we speak. We'll continue. Sean Green coming up next, Sports Gambling Podcast. He told me he has some spicy long shots with awards. We're talking triple-digit range. I can't wait to hear which players he likes for the upcoming season next here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome in. Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Dustin Sweetelson, Paulie Howard is on vacation. We are live downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, and we're yucking it up with Sean Green, one of the members of the Sports Gambling Podcast, along with Ryan Kramer and the rest of the crew. And you're going to get that show again on Friday nights during the football season right here on VSiN, live from Circa at 10 o'clock Eastern time. They put on a terrific show. We went over a bunch of your best bets for the upcoming NFL season in the first segment, Sean. We'll go out more best bets here, but let's get some more player props here. You like the Mendoza prop under 23.99.5 passing yards. I like to bet this following market because I've had some really like long numbers on it before where I had a chance, but I've never cashed. You know what I'm talking about here?
The interceptions?
Yes.
I bet Will Levis a couple years ago, and I think he lost his job like three games
right
into
away
the
in.
Season.
I had a huge number on... I think I had like 65-1 on CJ Stroud his second year. And I'm like, his turnover worthy plays despite having a great rookie. Anyway, I've never cashed a ticket here. I like having some action. Who are you riding with this year for the most INT, Sean?
Yeah, you mentioned it. It's kind of an interesting market to handicap because you want them to be bad that they're throwing interceptions, but good enough that they keep their job. And you got to find that sweet spot there of like, who has a bunch of job security that can get away with throwing a bunch of picks that's going to still stay out there. To me, the guy I'm looking at is Cam Ward to lead the league in interceptions at 19-1. Not quite the 65-1, but I think the setup here is pretty good. His interception percentage rate wasn't crazy last year, but I think they brought in Brian Daboll here to kind of force him to be a little bit more aggressive. He does like taking those shots there. And I just think they're going to be involved in some games where they're playing from behind and he's going to have to throw a bunch. On top of that, I just think he has an incredibly long leash. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky is their backup in Tennessee. So I think the only way he's not starting is due to injury. They're going to see what they have in him, let him play out the entire season. Hopefully he develops. You walk through their schedule. They have some pretty difficult matchups there. And I think 19-1 is a pretty good price here on Cam Ward.
Yeah, I like this too, just because if you remember him at Miami, he doesn't like to let plays die. He's one of those guys who likes to move around and extend it, which to me, you're just opening yourself up to so many mistakes. And he has great arm talent, but he also kind of thinks he can fit the ball into any window, which can lead to tip balls and picks. I think that's a really smart play because you're going to get a full season out of him. Now, let's go to a running back because there's a lot of hype for one of these guys in Carolina. Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. All the talk out of campus. He looks amazing. Chuba Hubbard has refound himself playing for the Panthers. How do you want to attack that running back spot in the futures market?
Yeah, give me the under on Chuba Hubbard at 824.5 rushing yards. I mean, one, just eye test, like Chuba Hubbard, it felt like he didn't have a ton of juice left. I mean, even though the Panthers offense, like the rushing attack was pretty good last year. You saw Dowdle had a very successful year, but Chuba just really couldn't get it going. And then on top of that, he's going to have competition with Jonathan Brooks. All the training camp buzz is how Brooks looks really good. Instead of betting Jonathan Brooks overs, I'm just going to fade Chuba Hubbard here because I just don't think there's a lot of room for him in this offense here. 824.5, they're just giving him a lot of the Dowdle production, which I don't think he's going to be able to achieve. On top of that, this Panthers offensive line could be in trouble. We saw the right tackle. He's going to be out with blood clots that goes into the season. Ike Ekwonu, their left tackle, he might not play the entire season. So they brought in a rookie Freeling, but I still question how good this Panthers offensive line is going to be on top of just not thinking that Chuba Hubbard's very explosive as a running back right now. So I'm happily going to fade him in the rushing yards market.
Very good. Okay. So some player awards now, and Dustin and I went over some of these yesterday. Let's go offensive rookie of the year. And you got my attention when I noticed 150-1.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, sure. Tell us who you like here.
Well, when Mitch asked for the plays, I'm like, careful. This one's not safe for work. This is a little spicy.
I won't stand up. Don't worry. No one will see.
Yeah, I'm getting Dustin excited over there. But he should be excited about the prospect of Keelan Black winning Offensive Rookie of the Year at 150-1 over here right behind you guys at the Circa. First off, I like him as a prospect. I like a running back in the Kyle Shanahan system. And obviously the guy blocking his path is Christian McCaffrey, who I don't want to wish injury on anyone. Always have to have that disclaimer. People get very mad, but Christian McCaffrey is coming off a career high in touches, 413 touches in year 10 for Christian McCaffrey. I'm sorry if I'm a little skeptical that he's going to make it through the entire season healthy. It's obviously early, but Black is already looking pretty good at training camp, turning heads. And to me, if Christian McCaffrey misses significant time, this is a massive opportunity for Keelan Black here, the running back for the San Francisco 49ers. And I'll happily take a little pizza money, as you guys like to say there, 150-1, because I do think he'll be live in that situation. So I wish the best for Christian McCaffrey, but preparing for the worst here with the Keelan Black Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay. I can sprinkle on that. By the way, Dustin, did you bet Mendoza under when he was talking about it?
I haven't bet it yet, but I found a good number here that we are going to bet.
Okay, so what do you guys think? People are paying attention to the program right now, or is this random? Because I tried to bet him under 2,400 and a half at BetMGM. They took it off the board and moved it 75 yards.
Like,
I mean, they're watching. The books are watching. What's going on?
People are listening. People are betting it, I bet.
Yeah, but also, like, if when I open the app and it says the number, that should be the number.
But they closed as I was trying to. So was happening in real time right there, Sean.
All right, well done. I guess that's the best number we're going to get right now.
Yep.
People like it.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's go over to offensive. Let's go to offensive player of the year, Sean, where it's a market where I can make a lot of case for a lot of bombs, even though Mitch and I were up here yesterday going, I love Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. It's just those numbers are crazy. Yep. You're going down the board, kind of like Jahmyr Gibbs. A teammate at the same position is gone, which should theoretically open up a lot of looks for this guy. 100-1 offensive player of the year. Who's the player?
Yeah. Quick note here on your Bijan offensive player of the year. If you don't want to take the short price on him, Bijan will lead the league in rushing touchdowns. Ooh. You can get that at like 16-1. And I know everyone thinks, oh, he gets all those receiving touchdowns. He's only had a few the past couple of years, and Tyler Allgeier is gone in that offense, which creates a massive opportunity for rushing touchdowns. So I kind of like him to lead the league in rushing touchdowns, Bijan. For offensive player of the year, I'm going to go to my boy, Devontae Smith here. Part of the reason the Eagles felt good moving on from him is because they thought he was primed for a breakout JSN type year. And you look at JSN, why did he succeed last year? Well, part because, you got Sam Darnold in there, but two, not having to compete with DK Metcalf. Now you have Devonta Smith in a very similar situation. You get rid of AJ Brown, you're vacating, 1,000+ yards and a bunch of touchdowns from AJ Brown. That's got to go to someone. Now, Jalen Hurts throws the guys he's comfortable with, which means a lot more Devonta Smith and maybe some more Dallas Goedert. But I think Devonta Smith is going to get a ton of work here. And even if you're not a huge Jalen Hurts fan like I am, the idea that Sam Darnold carried JSN to an offensive player of the year, I think would make you a little bit more comfortable about Jalen Hurts being able to help carry Devonta Smith to an offensive player of the year. And the Seattle Seahawks, they weren't known as like a pass happy offense. They got it done on the ground. Just JSN had a huge opportunity, took advantage of it. And it's similar in my mind. If you look back at Devonta Smith, his 2020 Heisman year at Alabama, 2019, he was competing with Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy. 2020, he's finally the alpha. He doesn't have to compete with anyone. Has an insane year, wins the Heisman. I mean, he's still catching touchdowns in that national championship game. So I think he has a similar chance to take advantage of the opportunity here. And 100-1, of course, I'm going to be riding with my boy Devonta Smith.
Very good. You can follow Sean on X. He is at Sean T. Green, one of the co-hosts along with Ryan Kramer of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Dynamite appearance as always, my man. Thank you, and have a good week.
Thanks, gents. Appreciate it.
Be good. There you go. Sean Green on the Progressive Guest Line.
The sports calendar never stops. Sharp Plays cover it all. They've been winning for 15 straight years, all of it documented. Logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. That kind of transparency is rare in this industry. When the Sharp Plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel. They'll find value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com today.
Would you still take under 2,300 25 yards with Mendoza?
Yeah, I think you still have to at that point, because it's all shaping up where I think this organization wants to be competitive. And Mendoza is probably ready to play pretty close to early in the season. But I think when you're rebuilding the culture the way they are, and I think that Clint Kubiak is so brilliant, he's going to get something out of Kirk Cousins. And they're going to want to ride that out until the wheels fall off, because the mindset has to be we're a playoff team until we're not. I mean, they're not.
They're not.
It'll show itself at some point.
It will. And he'll get some playing time this year. I just don't think it's going to be enough to go over. It's probably still, I mean, unless Cousins, but we don't know. This is part of the whole racket. Unless Cousins gets hurt in the first month, I think I'm comfortable betting like under 1,999 yards with the guy.
Tyler Shuck, he started 10 or 11 games. He had 2,384 yards.
So got close.
Got close.
Yep. All right. Up next, college football, Ralph Russo on the program. We'll talk Big Ten. The most dangerous team outside the Big Three, Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon, is which program?